Good morning and welcome to the morning show today from WRCO, WRCE. We're pleased to talk about a great organization in the community, For Pete's Sake. And their year culminates this weekend with a big fun day and an outing on Sunday in Spring Green. But we are joined in the studio by Todd Miller. Karen Burkhauser is here. And we also have Mike and Candy Morrow joining us to talk about For Pete's Sake. And joining us again is Todd Miller. You're kind of a veteran of this morning show. You've talked about this before. It's a thing that's near and dear to you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the history of For Pete's Sake and how it got started.
Well, in 2005, a young man named Peter Greenwood had cancer, and they ended up amputating part of his leg. So he wanted to get an athletic prosthetic leg, and it was very expensive. And so a number of people in the community got together and did fundraisers more than just the day in the park, and raised way more money than what was needed for the prosthetic leg. And so we talked with the Greenwoods and we decided that we would continue the organization and we would call it For Pete's Sake. And so we've been doing it since 2005. This will be our 19th year. And we've had a lot of support from the community, and we've helped about 115 different households right now with their financial needs, medical needs.
That is just incredible. And this is for needs of any kind. It's not just cancer. It's just for everything, isn't it?
Well, it needs to be medical. There needs to be a medical reason why we're helping. So younger people who've gotten in accidents and stuff, and then also older people who just physically can't work anymore, and so they're not in a health condition that would allow them to earn a better living.
Did it surprise you in that first year and how the funds started coming in?
It was stunning. So, and that first year was one of our best fundraising years ever. But in 2011, we decided that we would add a fall funding round instead of just having money in the bank waiting for the spring funding round. And so we've been able to do the fall funding round consistently since 2011, and then that kind of picks up the pieces in between. So to be a recipient, you need to be in the River
River Valley School District?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a little gabapentin foggy this morning, I'm sorry. And I forgot what I was going to say,
okay.
Phil. I'm sorry.
So if you're going to be a recipient, you need to be within the boundaries of the school district then.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then we have interviews twice a year for the funding rounds, and then we divvy up the amount of money that we feel that we can release. So we're not raising money for the recipients we have. We're raising money for the future recipients that we might have.
Okay. Karen Burkhauser is here as well. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Now, why are you a member of this organization? What does it mean to you?
Well, I'm actually a newer member. This is my fourth year. I've just lived in the Spring Green area, River Valley area, for 7 years. And the very first summer that we came, we heard about this day in the park was this great fundraiser. We didn't really know much about it. And it was just, even if you don't know why they're raising the money, when you go there, it's just this all-American day in the park with music and food, kids' games. I mean, even a little cart that pulls the kids around with a miniature horse. I mean, it just looks like something out of a Norman Rockwell picture, you know? And then I learned more about what it was actually about. And people came up and made speeches during the music and told how the organization helped them. And it was extraordinary. So my husband and I started volunteering the next year. And then I got asked to be on the board, and I was so honored to do it. It's such a different organization. I'd worked raising money for charities in the past. This one is so personal because you meet the people who, and you have to hear their story. It's a very emotional situation, you know. I mean, you all always know that there are people in need around you, but this is very personal because you actually, you know, hear the stories and you see the difference that it makes in the family's life. I mean, we try to make a profound need. You know, we don't just give them, we don't give the money. We help them with their bills, their mortgages, their doctor bills. We do remodeling. We just did a remodeling on a person's home so that they could get in and out of their house safely. That makes a significant difference in how their future is going to be because of this medical problem.
How many awards do you give each time or each year?
It varies. I mean, some funding rounds will have 6 applications. Sometimes we'll only have 3. Sometimes we have one big one. This past year, we had a child who had all of a sudden a kidney disease, rare kidney disease came up, and that was a big help for that family. We rarely turn anybody away. I mean, as long as there's a medical need and a financial need that can be verified, we try to do something.
So is there a limit on the amount that someone can be awarded, or does it vary per case then?
It varies per case, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, some people are in more need than others. For example, if the main breadwinner of the household is the one who's injured or sick, that can be a huge problem. Compared to maybe a situation where it's not the main breadwinner, you know, and there's still an income coming. But, you know, these medical crises are so disruptive in a household that sometimes even when there are 2 people who work, both are down because one has to help the other. You're constantly taking care of them or going to medical appointments or, you know, so it affects the whole family. It's not just the person who is sick or injured.
Yeah, if there's children involved too, you know, somebody's got to watch the children.
Exactly.
And, you know, those
exactly,
kind of things.
Exactly. So it's really a grassroots effort, and the community is extraordinary. They're so, so generous. During COVID, we couldn't have the day in the park for two summers, and people just supported the organization, and we didn't really skip a beat. We were helping everybody at regular levels, and it was extraordinary, really. I mean, we were so worried, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't have the typical fundraisers during that time, but you still had money coming in then?
We had money coming in. We started the golf outing because that was the only safe thing that we could do. We started out with everybody in their old golf carts the first year. And we're still continuing to do that because everybody had fun. So we're still doing that fundraiser in addition to Day in the Park.
When is the golf outing typically?
It's Friday, September 15th.
So that's still coming up then?
That's still coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that'll be happening. The Day of the Park looks fun. It looks like a full day of activities.
Yep. We generally get over there at about 7 o'clock in the morning and start setting up. And then by 11, we have the food and silent auction going and the bands are playing. But there's also a rum walk at 9 a.m. and a bike ride at 9 a.m. And people can register there at the park beginning at 8 a.m. So... But it turns into a pretty long day, and we generally raise about $40,000, which is much needed. You know, the need has never gone away. We've always had applicants. So
well, that's crazy. So that $40,000 is raised pretty much within that day then?
Yeah, so we're doing a day of raffle with a variety of prizes that people can buy tickets just on the day in the park. And then the silent auction, we're selling a variety of items. There's over 100 items right now. And you know, people bid on them, and we close that up at 4:30. And then there's a kids area where the kids can play all day long with they get a little wristband. And we got a bouncy castle and some sort of course.
Oh, obstacle course.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
So that generally goes pretty well. So
And a real good array of music and musicians playing on the stage, too.
Well, I think so. I'm in one of the bands, Sugar Mama and the Rent Check. So, but yeah, I think people will enjoy it. So,
yeah, I think you've picked out a good group of area people. Now, the bands, are they all from your area? Or are they from kind of a regional area?
They're all from the area.
Mm-hmm.
From the River Valley area, actually.
That's impressive. I didn't know there were that many local bands. So
yeah, there's a lot more than that.
That's crazy. When I think about the River Valley area, though, there's such a mix of people from all walks of life, but this is one event that really brings everybody together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It really does. Last year when we finally got back to having the live event, you know, standing in the park and just seeing people streaming because they into the park because they can just walk, you know, from their homes in the village and just pouring into the park to, you know, just to meet their neighbors and friends and listen to music and have fun. And they know it's for a good cause. So it's really, it's a great day. And it's supposed to be warm on Sunday. So, you know, we're going to have plenty of beverages.
And we're going to have plenty of tents.
And plenty of tents for shade.
So there's shade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll be important because under the tent, there'll be probably a little bit of breeze blowing.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be very comfortable there.
Yep.
So, and it's at Spring Greens North Park.
Correct. Yep.
And starting on this Sunday, early in the morning. So in the studio today, we are very happy to have a couple of folks representing recipients. Maybe you could introduce us to Mike and Candy and a little bit about them, Todd.
Well, Mike had a work injury, I believe, and has been in a lot of nerve pain since then. And the recovery from that has not been rapid as what was hoped for. So he's been unable to work now for how long, Mike?
Since January, the end of January.
January of this year.
Yep.
So they were part of our spring funding round recipients. So, and then Candace has been very supportive. And if you ever need someone else at the radio station, I would suggest you hire her. So,
she's like talking.
She's talkative. We like that.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
My coworkers were just talking about me talking. So.
Well, welcome to the studio, Mike and Candy.
Thank you.
Mike, this is something that, did you know about For Pete's Sake before your injury?
Nope. One of my wife's friends told us about it, and then she looked it up and started talking to them.
Yeah, a coworker told me to, hey, you know, apply. He goes, what's the worst that can happen? They say no. And I said, well, let's do it. So we printed it off the application, and then we met with a group of 10 people for a meeting, kind of nerve-wracking, but we were unaware that they would help us, you know, because it wasn't like a huge, like, cancer. I thought it was just an organization that helps people who have a disease that's not curable. So when we found this out and we met with everybody, it was amazing. It was just amazing what happened after the meeting. And then that Monday, I got a phone call and we got approved for it. And then the ball started rolling and we're like, wait, you're going to pay our mortgage? What? So it was just amazing. We're still amazed.
That took a lot of load off at that point, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Amazing load off because I was the only one working and his medical kept coming at us and we're like, oh no, you know, so it just kept piling. And Todd, he's been amazing throughout this whole 8 months, has it been? Since this started, January 18th. So everybody there at For Pete's Sake that is involved, they're amazing. Amazing people.
Hats off to them. Mike, are you feeling better these days?
It's roughly about the same. There's some days I feel good and some days I don't. No.
Tell me about the story then. You had some symptoms or is this something that just came on suddenly?
I had some neck problems. I went in for headaches and then they did x-rays and stuff or whatever. And then they found out my neck bone was deteriorating. So I had to have a donor bone put in.
Is this something that's pretty rare? Or is it fairly common?
Spinal stenosis is what he was told he had. So they went in and they put the bridge in and the donor bone, and then we were hoping it would fix things, if not make them better. But the headaches are still there, and so is the nerve pain.
Okay. So it's been kind of a rough road then.
Yeah.
Things like For Pete's Sake, though, they kind of brighten your world a little bit, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can send a message to Todd, and within, you know, minutes, he's replying back to me. So it's not like I'm feeling like we're not going to get connected. You know, it's just been, I don't know any other word to say, but just relief and, what would you call it? It's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. It really is, to have them help us the way they have.
I'm guessing you both will be attending on Sunday?
Oh, yes. I will be there. So will our family. So we got contacted by one of your For Pete's teammates, and they wanted us to come in and like do a booth. So I think I'm going to be in with the kids. I like that.
Okay.
So.
But Mike can't be in the bouncy castle.
No, he cannot. Okay,
not this year. He can't be in the bouncy castle.
He can't even do the trampoline with our boys.
not yet. Anyway, but we'll hope that that he gets to that point. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So do you have to get up and give your story a little bit during the stage?
He might have a little stage fright. Not me. But
she's a talker. I'm more shy in person.
Yeah. I can tell that. So, but obviously, you're going to spread the word from here on out about For Pete's Sake.
I have. Like you just said, I'm a talker. So anybody, whoever asks, you know, my coworkers, everybody, I am letting them know that you need help medically, anything, you need to apply, because chances are, like Karen said, you won't get denied. You know, so it's awesome.
Yeah, that must have been again a little intimidating when he went in at first for that interview, and you know they ask you some questions, but I'm guessing they put your mind at ease a little bit.
Even I was a little nervous walking in and seeing 10 people sitting there going, "Ooh, you know,
am I in trouble?"
Right, where's the principal here? Yeah. But it was actually really nice. You know, they just sit and talk to you. They want to know your story, and after that, it was pretty easy, because the next day you had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we met with them on the 22nd, and he had surgery the next day. So it was, we were all kind of nervous and, you know, on pins and needles.
Talk about a roller coaster ride in life, right?
It's been a frustrating year for us, but with everything that's happened with their help, not as intimidating to face a new day. So it's been good.
Are you both natives of the area then?
Arena. We both live in Arena with our kids, yes.
And that you grew up in the area then?
I did.
She mm-hmm. did.
You were?
Sauk, I think.
Born in Sauk, but raised in Stoughton and McFartland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he moved back, and, well, 31 years later, you know, three kids, and then we took two more in. So, yeah.
So how many children do you have?
Well, we have five, but three between the two of us.
Okay.
So, yep. Yep.
So you do have a lot of responsibilities, don't you?
We do.
Wow. As you look at this, Mike, can you imagine life had you stayed in Stoughton, for instance? I mean, you know, the bigger area. You know, you talk about your friends and neighbors supporting you. You're living in a great spot, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, my grandpa lived next door to where she's living, and we pretty much took over the property that her grandma lived on. So it was right next to my grandpa's property.
Oh, I see. So kind of the
That's how we kind of met.
Oh, that's how you met initially.
Oh, yeah. We've known each other for a long time.
Her and my sister were best friends back then.
Mm-hmm. So
still are.
Well, you tortured me when I was young.
That's how it all came to be. that means he liked you, I guess.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
But now I get to torture you back.
Right. Isn't it funny how life turns sometimes?
It is. Yeah, it is.
It is. And you're both young people. And it's just, you know, sometimes I think when you're younger, don't you think you're invincible? Like, oh, this is never going to happen to us or happen to me?
No.
He's always been a fix-it kind of guy, though. So picking up more than 10 pounds, like working at a salvage yard like he did, picking up transmissions and motors with our son who works there. And now he can't pick up 10 pounds. So it's the handyman kind of jack of all trades has kind of had to retire a little bit. So our son's taken over all of his stuff. And it's frustrating for him because he wants to do it.
Well, you got to become a supervisor now, don't you?
A little bit.
He's pretty good at that lately.
I bet. Certainly there's some other things you can do, though. You can, you know, work on some other things, wiring and things like that, can't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get into making, like, jerky and stuff now, but...
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I can actually pick that stuff up and do it.
That's not too heavy.
No, it's not.
Mike and Candy Morrow, our guests here, are the one of the beneficiaries of the For Pete's Sake organization. Karen Burkhauser, Todd Miller is here, and we'll talk more about their big event coming up on Sunday after this timeout. Welcome back to our morning show time. We're talking about everything concerning For Pete's Sake. The Day in the Park is coming up this Sunday in Spring Green. And joining us, Todd Miller, Karen Burkhauser, and Mike and Candy Morrow. Todd, certainly the story that the Morrows told, that's one of many that you hear. And For
yes.
Pete's Sake.
This, and circumstances are always different for people. You know, so the amount of funding that's needed can vary widely, and we allow recipients to be funded in two funding rounds, but since we don't intend to be a maintenance organization, then hopefully anything we missed the first time we can maybe clean up the second time. So
all the fundraising things are important, but this day on Sunday is not about, you know, being sad or looking at the past. It's about celebration, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the River Valley community celebrating, and other folks, of course, who happen to be around. So,
do you play pickleball?
I do not play pickleball. However, Natalie Yowsley, who's on the committee, is a new pickleball fan, and she's in charge of running the tournament. So it's going to be, a double elimination tournament with two age divisions. And it'll begin at around 9 a.m. And you can sign up for that online at forpetesake.com. Or you can contact Natalie at niausly@forpetesake.com. And it's a numeral 4.
So this is one of the many ways that For Pete's Sake makes money. I presume there are registration fees for some of these events?
Yeah, it's $50 for a team for pickleball. For the rum walk and ride, it's $30 a person. And both of everything is having pretty good participation at this point. But we could use a couple of more pickleball teams. So
I'm guessing you could use more more people to volunteer too, couldn't you?
Well, Gene Ault is our fearless leader who will not do a radio interview.
Oh,
yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But she's the one who kind of oversees all the volunteers. And as far as I know, I think we're doing okay. We might need a little more help at the silent auction because, you know, checkout takes a little bit of time when you've got 100 some items that people have bid on. So
I would guess that you have to have a lot of volunteers. Any idea how many?
Well, the Lions probably rotate 30 people through the food, and then the KCs help out with the beverages, and they generally have about a dozen people. So, and then there's everything else. So there, people making brownies for the brownie sundaes and that kind of thing. So maybe 100 volunteers. I've never really counted them.
Isn't that amazing, though? Wow.
Yeah.
And the food is amazing, too. Brownies, ice cream brownies, and all kinds of treats.
And brats and burgers and all of that stuff. So you can easily spend the day there. You won't go hungry.
So lunch and dinner.
Yeah, we're going to be serving till roughly 6:30. And we should be ready to go at 11 a.m. And same with the beverages.
So parking is available in those vicinities, or everything?
Well, people park off of the drive into the park, and then when that fills up, they find other places to park. So, but generally it's pretty full. So you might need to do a little bit of walking to get down to the pavilion and the band.
Sure, but not a bad walk, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Karen, as we talk about the fall fundraiser, we touched on that briefly, but the golf outing is going on. What can you tell us about that?
So, we have the golf outing is at the House on the Rock Resort Golf Course, Friday, September 15th. We start registration at 10:30, and we have teams of four, and it's $450 for a team of four. And that includes the golf cart, the 18 holes of golf, a box lunch, and then we have games and prizes and things like that. So it's a really fun afternoon. Everybody gets together afterwards and award the prizes. And because we have many contests on the holes for like longest drive, longest putt, all of those different things for men and women. And so we award all of those. And then we do a 50-50 raffle. So, you know, it's a fun day. People have a really good time.
How can people sign up for that, Karen?
Well, you can go to the website again, forpetesake.com, and all of the registration information is on there. The deadline is September 1st, so we have a little bit of time left to register. So I encourage everybody to please send in their registration so we can get organized because we have to decide, you know, the order of the teams and all of that. So men, women, mixed teams, anybody can, you know, who likes to play golf can register.
That's the main fall fundraiser. Do you do something in the spring then? Or is
No. We really the fundraising year starts with the local nights. Mm-hmm. And we do like three local nights starting right when that season starts. And we have For Pete's Sake volunteers there with the t-shirts and merchandise, and we run 50-50 raffles there. So those are our main fundraisers during the year.
I know you've tied in a few things with River Valley High School, too, where they've had some things during homecoming that, you know, maybe they throw in a little change here and there.
Since I've been there, I haven't seen what the high school does. But, you know, lots of the businesses in town help us out. Like, there'll be the giving pump at the Right Way, where they have a pump dedicated and For Pete's Sake gets a certain amount of the proceeds from that pump. And then Culver's does share nights that they advertise. So when you go in and order food, portion of the sales comes to For Pete's Sake. So we are very lucky. We get a lot of support.
Yeah, we hear about it through the year, and that's nice to have that name mentioned just to keep it in people's minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we send our main letter out and get the season going at the end of May. And it's then, you know, we're pretty quiet in the winter, but Todd is always working. He's always working with the recipients. I mean, really, they have their own health advocate in Todd. So he's always behind the scenes, helping out with whatever the recipients have been promised and making sure that, you know, everything's happening that needs to happen. I mean, he represents a safety net for the people who are involved.
Indeed. And Todd, unfortunately, you know, that's the way life goes. There's always a need, isn't there?
There is. And traditionally, we wait until after the day in the park to announce whether or not we're going to have a fall funding round. But because of the donations that have come in so far this year, we decided that we would open the fall funding round now. So we have a deadline of September 14th to receive applications, and we'll be doing interviews a few days later. So we'll wrap that up by the end of September. This is normally something that we do in October. And if you need an application, you can go to the website, numeral4petesake.com. You can pick up an application in person at Arcadia Books, which is in downtown Spring Green. Or you can request one at P.O. Box 577, Spring Green, Wisconsin, 53588.
You have some unique items in the silent auction, too, don't you, this weekend?
We do. Jeannie McCarville is part of our board, and I am not seeing anything specified too much, but there's a nice mix of things in there. So gift certificates and artwork and that kind of thing.
And I did see that Don Greenwood, doesn't he donate a guitar or something like that?
Don Greenwood typically donates a guitar, or his brother does. Uh-huh. I've only bought two of them. But yeah. And Don's been playing music for a long, long time, so he'll start off the music that day.
Instead of smashing his guitar at the end of his round of playing, he donates it and auctions it.
Right, he was never in the Who, so he doesn't have a swing down.
Maybe we could go over that music lineup again, though. It looks like a good array of groups and artists.
Well, Don will start at 11 a.m. and play for an hour. At noon, we have Pete Smoke, which is led by Chuck Wyman, and the drummer is Rob Steffen, and the bass player is Tim Giddings. 1 to 2 p.m. is Violet Palms. It's a band that Marcus Truchinski started, and they play almost all original music, and it's a fun band to listen to. Sugar Mama and the Red Check has 6 members, and we will be playing from 2 to 3 p.m. Then Kamala Wadad, who does acoustic music, will play 3 to 4. Jambidextrous, which is jazz, will play 4 to 5. And then after we do the raffle drawing at 5 p.m. and allow a little bit of time for the speeches, then the Solstice Jazz Band will close up the day at about 6:30.
All right. And you have a list of some of the raffle items there, too.
Yeah, for the day of raffle, we've got 6 tickets to APT, 2 $250 Prem Meats gift cards, a pickleball set, a $500 gift card from the People's Community Bank, a paddle board, which includes a board, paddles, pump, and storage bag, a beach combo, which is a wagon, cooler, chairs, table, and blanket, and then a basket from Arthur's Supper Club, which includes picnic gear, wine, and a $50 gift certificate. So it's enough bait. So see if it works.
It sounds like it, sure. And how can people get raffle tickets then?
Just the day of. We used to sell raffle tickets ahead of time, and we found that we sold very few at area businesses and stuff, and so we've just gone to a day of raffle. So they can begin buying tickets probably by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, and then we will cut that off at 5 o'clock and do the drawing and then the speeches. So they're $5 each or 5 for 20, and good luck.
Mm-hmm. So, it's amazing you sell that many in one day.
Yeah, it is. But so many people do raffles that it's not as effective as a fundraiser as it used to be, and the silent auction helps to supplement that. And then Karen bringing in this golf outing, that also helps to raise a lot of money. So you can't just do one thing.
Indeed. What do you look forward to the most about For Pete's Sake, the day in the park, Karen, on Sunday?
Well, I love seeing everybody there. You know, you see so many people we know, which it's really fun to just visit with people. And I love the silent auction. There's a little bit of competition there. Friendly competition. And there's always, you know, a wonderful selection of items. So it's fun. You can see people, you know, doing their bids, and then somebody else will wander over and bid against them, and then it gets very exciting towards the end, you know. But
bid high if you really want that.
If you really want it.
Carry your own pen, remove all the pens in the area, and sit down on the bid sheet until it's closed.
You know, that's a strategy.
You know. But there are people who, you know, they see something there and they really want it, you know. So it keeps them there all day. because I have to keep watching the bit.
Oh, my. It sounds like, Karen, you have wonderful support from the business community in the River Valley area.
We really do. I mean, as Todd mentioned, you know, a lot, most of these, everything's donated, obviously, for the raffle and for the silent auction, but a lot of the businesses step up with the gift cards and the gift certificates and donating baskets and things like that. And, you know, so, I mean, it's amazing how many businesses just automatically will do something.
And some handmade items.
And there are some handmade items and artwork, of course, that people, you know, artists in the community donate. But yeah, the community is very generous.
Speaking of businesses, as we go back to candy, you know, it really means a lot to you that the place where you work, the Shoebox, has been very kind to you.
They have been. My bosses, my coworkers, like I said, it was a coworker who told me about For Pete's Sake. And then just anytime I need time off to go to an appointment for him, because he can't drive long distances. In the beginning, couldn't drive at all. And then it depends on your medication, doesn't it? So, yeah, they've been amazing. Just amazing throughout the whole 8-month process that we've been going through.
That's another thing that takes a load off your mind, isn't it?
It is, because if I don't have my job, then we're both out of work, and then the income stops totally. So without them, I would have been pretty much up creek without a paddle.
Yeah. So, has insurance helped you?
Yes. A lot? My insurance through the Shoebox has been a lifesaver. Because when this started to happen, we were like, oh God, what's this going to cost? You know, the co-pays, everything has just been nonstop. So, but the insurance has been good. So they treat me very good there.
Well, that's awesome. Nowhere to go but up, Mike. So you're just hoping to feel stronger every day here, if you can.
Yeah, I am.
Are there some certain things you can do in terms of, you know, exercising and things like that?
Yeah, they got some weird exercises I got to do. Certain stretches and stuff like that.
The ball on the door is your favorite.
Ball on the door?
Yeah.
He has to keep a ball, like, on his back, and he has to go back and forth on it without dropping the ball.
Oh.
Literally. So, yeah. That one's not so bad.
All a part of some things that that they have you do.
But yeah, there's like a dozen different things they have me do.
Every day.
But yeah. The prognosis is, if you follow that and keep going, that you can get stronger?
Yeah.
We hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Get the nerves moving and whatever else. Oh.
So, is this a common ailment? Have you read much
about it? The doctors claim it is. Spinal stenosis is, you can get it in your heart, you can get it in your spine, everywhere, he said. So, it's just been weird because we never heard it before his MRI. You know, in the doctor's appointments, and, you know, it was just narrowing of the spine is what we were told. And we're like, well, okay, so will this get fixed? It's been a frustrating process, but I think we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We'll be all right.
And with the help of For Pete's Sake?
Even better.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Even better.
Brighten your life, yeah. You bet. What are you looking forward to the most on Sunday for the day in the park thing?
Our boys to run around like hooligans and somebody else can watch them. No. Okay. I'm kind of kidding. But no, our older kids will be coming with us to corral them and run around while we help do whatever we need to do. Set up, whatever. We'll help.
Certainly, you bring up a good point, though. It's truly a family event, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's new to us, so we're like, because I would usually be working because it's back to school at the Shoebox. So I took off this day ahead of time so we could be there this Sunday. So it's going to be nice. It's going to be a nice day at the park. I'm interested to see how everything unfolds.
Indeed. Well, thanks for coming and telling your story.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
I know it's not easy. This might be more painful than some of the things you've gone through, this radio interview, right?
Yeah.
You've done a great job, though. Thanks for coming in. Anything else that anybody in the studio would like to add this morning about For Pete's Sake? Todd, anything?
Well, again, if you need to contact us, go to our website at numeral4PETESAKE.com. And if you have questions about an application, you can always give me a call at 608-588-4619. And please bear in mind that we do have a firm deadline of September 14th for the fall funding round. So it's nice to get those applications sooner than later so that we can make sure that they're complete.
Can you apply more than once?
You can get funding in up to two different funding rounds. Mm-hmm. So if you have gotten one funding round and something else comes up, which has happened before, then you can apply for a second funding round.
And when is the spring deadline typically then?
Typically we do a mid-March deadline, and then we try to have a meeting by the end of the month to determine how we divvy up the funds. And again, we look at what we've got in the bank and say, okay, this is how much we can commit to this funding round, what are the needs, and how should we divide this so that we have the most impact.
River Valley School District is a wide district, isn't it, in terms of geographically? So you serve a big area.
Yeah, it's pretty large. So there's maybe 14 towns or that all or part of them are in the school district, and then four villages. So there's about 12,000 people, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. Definitely there's a need with that many people in that much area.
There certainly is, yeah.
Going to be a hot time in the old town on Sunday.
Yeah, let's hope for a breeze.
Hope for a breeze. You have
rain
tents.
Or shine, we got tents, you know, come as you are. So
should be fun. Karen, thanks for coming along here
Thank
today.
You again for having us.
You bet. And Todd as well, Karen Burkhauser, Todd Miller, and earlier Mike and Candy Morrow, talking about For Pete's Sake, the day in the park coming up at Spring Greens North Park this Sunday, August 20th.